everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Coming up, we are going to have the latest political headlines of the day with Senator Ted Harvey, a former state senator from Colorado, now the head of the Committee to Defend the President, one of the largest pro-Trump PACs in America. We'll chat about just a few things, the Democratic contenders, and just some of the weekend stuff that went on over the long holiday weekend. We are going to talk about CPS abuse with investigative journalist Megan Fox. She investigates abuse within foster care and how some parents are not allowed due process when they've had their children taken away from them, sometimes for good. You may not believe some of the things you're about to hear. Also, the mental effects fat shaming can have on individuals. That is coming up in just a few moments right here. But first, trending on social media and in the news, more severe, deadly weather. Millions of Americans are affected after a series of twisters in Ohio and beyond. Over 50 possible tornadoes in all reported across 8 states. Overnight, at least one person has died. The destruction is mind-boggling. First responders having to use snow plows to try to get victims and more.
We do not yet know the full extent of the damage as crews are still working to reach affected areas. But we do know that the damage was significant and that many citizens and folks are still without basic services.
We have crews called in who are currently assessing the extent of the storm damage and performing emergency clearance of debris. And we have had citizens evacuated to Red Cross shelters. In addition to the emergency responses related to the storm, the power outage has impacted both water plants and our pump stations.
Again, over 50 tornadoes just overnight. And more about this crazy weather in Oklahoma and Arkansas. They are bracing for historic flooding. Towns along the Arkansas River there, so all eyes are upon them, hoping for the best. And so they could probably use our prayers. The Supreme Court today reversed a lower court ruling on fetal remains, leaving in place an Indiana law signed by now Vice President Mike Pence from when he was governor there in Indiana that mandates that fetuses be buried or cremated after abortions, that they would have a proper burial or cremation. The justices on the Supreme Court also decided they will not be ruling on a part of the law stricken by lower courts that prohibited abortions because tests revealed an abnormality. So this is pretty significant. The court indicated it would wait for other courts to weigh in before taking up that issue. But both abortion laws were signed by Pence in 2016. Only one will hold up for now. The order on the fetal remains case makes the first instance of the more conservative Supreme Court makeup challenging the parameters of Roe v. Wade, of course, from 1972. Indiana trending on Twitter today. A lot of people having a lot to say. Also today, look at this. The state of Missouri is taking a major pro-life stand. They may close the final abortion clinic there before the end of the week. There may soon, by the end of the week, be no Planned Parenthood or any abortion clinics in the state of Missouri. Planned Parenthood planning to sue on that, so to be continued. Michael Avenatti, known by some as the creepy porn lawyer, was in court today for a few things. He pleaded not guilty to charges that he stole $300,000 from Stormy Daniels, a book deal of hers, and whole thing there. He was released on a $300,000 bond and ordered to have no contact with Daniels. He later went into another courthouse in a separate case, charging him with trying to extort Nike. So just some of the things, he could have a few years in jail, up to centuries on top of each other. So that's the latest with Michael Avenatti. Coming up, Ted Harvey here on America Trends and a lot of other great things. The new Elton John movie is coming out. It's being released this week. We'll have a little preview of that coming up for you. So we hope you'll stay with us for the hour here on America Trends.
Well,
Welcome back to America Trends. Did you have a nice little rest over the Memorial Day weekend? Hope you celebrated in a great way and remembered all our American heroes. But maybe you got a chance to get away from politics for a moment. To get us all on track for this week, we have our favorite senator, Senator Ted Harvey from Colorado, former state senator but now head of the largest pro-Trump PAC in America. It is the Committee to Defend the President. Now, take a look at this website. You may want to go there right now and see what some of their goals are, and they've got a whole thing about, they've got news videos, and they've got a just one little button right there where you can just donate. All you have to do is click it, hit some buttons, and give them some money, and they do all the hard work to try to support conservative values that are impacting and affecting President Trump. And you can find them on Twitter and Facebook as well. Senator Harvey, welcome back to America Trends. We're always so glad to have you.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. So Japan, and we're talking about Vietnam increasing their exports by 40%, and it all has to do with some of these trade wars. And also, I saw these wonderful memes of the lovely Melania dressed up. And, you know, it's just one of those things where if she were a Democrat, she'd be on the cover of all these magazines. But instead, she's ignored because everyone is just oh so political and can't bother to back away from that, to give credit where credit is due for what, like, how, well, it's all about how they look sometimes. But also, yeah, she does such great work for humanitarian efforts, and it's all but ignored.
Well, I think it's, I think, one, this is an important trip for the president to be on. I think having the president go overseas and highlight the successes that he is having with international policy is important for the administration, important for the country. I think securing a solid trade deal with Japan and increasing our exports, especially with our beef exports to Japan, for all previous administrations, Japan has prohibited beef exports into Japan, and because of Trump and the salesman that he has been able to bring down that barrier and allow our ag industry to export to Japan beef, which is huge for, especially for Colorado and the West where I live. But he is also over there highlighting the successes of Japan and their free market system, and kind of sending a message to North Korea, to Vietnam, and to China, that this is what can happen to your economy as well when you open up into the free market system and allow your country and your citizens to be able to participate in this. And if you look at what has happened since the trade war with China, the Vietnamese exports have increased 40% because companies that were in China are moving to Vietnam to be able to take advantage of the United States market. And it's sending a pretty strong message to China as well, because their exports are down 13% to the United States. So he's making Vietnam capitalist again. He is making the United States great again, and he's sending a strong message to China. If you want to participate in the world market, you need to have fair trade with not only the United States, but with all of our trading partners.
It is interesting to see what Vietnam and China might do next in coming months and years. Very interesting. So yes, all in all, you think it's a very good showing in Japan? I know you're with the Committee to Defend the President, so I know you're going to say yes, but a very good showing for President Trump, you say?
Well, I think it's important for the president to show the world that he is a leader on the world stage. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he is there and he is able to show the Democrats, the moderate Democrats, the moderate unaffiliated voters, that he is doing things to help their lives, to open up the world for their products, that's good for America, and it's good for Trump going into 2020.
Yeah. It is sort of funny to hear him tease some of the Democratic contenders about how do you think they would do with the dictator of China, and talk about Beto and all this. It's just a little bit of a kick, right?
You know, it's laughable because as he is there, North Korea is sending off missiles into the ocean over there, and the Democrats are howling. Well, he's obviously trying to put pressure on Trump. And Trump says, I'm not even worried about it. I'm not even thinking about it. And they're all trying to make this huge deal out of it. But you have to remember that for the last four administrations, nobody has done anything to bring North Korea to the table to talk about how to bring them into the world market. Nobody has confronted China and tried to deal with them and their unfair trading practices. Now that Trump is actually putting pressure on both countries, now you have North Korea trying to say, look at me, we're still serious over here, you need to give us attention. And Trump is saying, I'm not gonna give you any attention. I'm here to meet with Japan, and once you want to come to the table and truly talk about denuclearizing and stopping your nuclear tests, then we can talk. But until then, I'm not even gonna give you credit to even talk about the fact that you are shooting these missiles off. I'm just going to brush you aside as if you're a fly on my shoulder.
And you know what, that's the way that with so many of his counterparts or challengers, you know, Trump could just go back to his private life next year after that and be fine. He's doing this to help us. He's not so tethered to his legacy, and I have to his political livelihood, as other people have been and always will be, because he's Donald Trump. So it's, I think that's why it's just such a relief to have someone like him in office who is trying to do right for the American people. It's almost like, and you know what, Ted, here's the thing. We just celebrated Memorial Day. He really is serving his country. He doesn't have to. He's not a career politician where people are trying to make so many bucks off this, which is not what our founding fathers had in mind at all.
Well, imagine Kamala Harris being the person going over there and having these negotiations with China, with Vietnam, with Japan. They would not take her seriously. They would not take Beto O'Rourke seriously. They would not take any of the candidates seriously. They might take Joe Biden seriously, but I don't think the American people are going to take Joe Biden seriously. So. The Democrats, what do they have to offer to the American people? Trump has, you know, the economy. Trump has, he's fighting on immigration. He's fighting for opening up free trade around the world. And they, all they have to offer to the American people is we hate Trump. And I don't think that's going to go over well in the 2020 elections. The American people are smarter than that.
That's exactly right. I just saw a funny meme on Twitter. I gave the guys to pull up in the control room that says exactly that. Look at that. That is their whole platform. Hate Trump.
That's exactly
nothing
right.
else. Yeah, but you know what? That might rise with some of their constituents, Ted. Okay, so we're going to have you back after the break. We're going to talk about, you know, I mean, Biden's ahead right now, but are people really taking any of these polls seriously? Are they really thinking, who will I really vote for? And I also want to ask you about Trump dropping this bomb saying that John Kerry should be prosecuted. And a few more of the political topics of the day with Senator Ted Harvey, the Committee to Defend the President. I bet they know as soon as we walk in. Dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Might have a little mud on my wheels, but they're gonna shine with you up inside. Welcome back to America Trends here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. There are huge political headlines dwelling at the top of Twitter today, including some abortion stands in the states of Indiana and Missouri. Big news there. We're going to chat about that with Senator Ted Harvey of Colorado. He's a good conservative Christian guy who is the head of the Committee to Defend the President, the biggest pro-Trump PAC in America. Started as an anti-Hillary PAC, right, Ted? And where is Hillary right now? Is she just in the background sipping Chardonnay? Because we haven't heard too much from her.
Well, I think she's in a bunker keeping her head down, afraid of what's going to happen when the bar investigations start pointing fingers at actually what did happen during the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and the Obama administration doing everything they could to spy on American citizens and then try to bring down a duly elected president of the United States. I think a lot of people should be keeping quiet and not saying anything because the fingers are going to start pointing at them.
How great is that? You're referring to Attorney General Barr, who is now investigating the investigators after this whole long Mueller probe, 2 years. And now they're saying, why did this have to happen? And, you know, Hillary, Obama, they could be the ones who are absolutely culpable. Ted, who should be the most fearful right now?
Well, I think that, take a pick, I think Brennan should be worried about it, the head of the CIA at the time. I think a lot of it was part of his orchestration. I think Clapper at the head of the NSA should be worried. I think Comey at the head of the FBI should be worried. I think that number of people in the Obama Justice Department should be worried.
Those pictures of Hillary and Kerry.
You know, the Secretary of State and her administration were up to their ears in this whole thing. They were spying on America. They had weaponized the intelligence community to spy on their political opponents. And there's no two ways about that. I think as we come out with the investigation, while as we declassify these documents that the president has told Barr to allow to be declassified, I think the American people are going to see that this truly is the greatest scandal in American history. And people are going to go to jail over it. I think they should, and I think the American people need to understand what happened during this whole 2 to 3 year situation that took place in trying to bring down the Trump campaign and the Trump administration.
I hope so, too. I hope they don't tire the American public of hearing about how the CIA, FBI were weaponized and about the Mueller probe, because there is a continuation to this. It should not go unheeded what they did. And so I hope what you say is true. And he says John Kerry should be prosecuted, among others. Do you think Kerry will be up there?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what does happen with Kerry. He was obviously intimately involved as the Secretary of State after Hillary left, and we're going to see a lot of information come out from his administration, from his department, while candidate Trump and President Trump elect was being spied on, that you cannot deny the fact that people in the State Department were involved. Whether it got all the way up to him, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens.
Boy, you really have to wonder. I'll bet they thought it would never come back to this. They thought they were going to get away with whatever they wanted to.
And imagine what would have happened if Hillary would have won.
Oh.
All of this would have been swept under the rug. The American people never would have seen what happened. And you would never have these kind of investigations to show the American people exactly what did happen. And I would be just as outraged if a Republican administration had done this to a Democrat candidate or a Democrat president of the United States. I'm a civil libertarian. And our government, our intelligence community should not be spying and weaponizing their intelligence community to go after their political enemies. This is what happens in third world countries. This is what happens in the Soviet Union and in China. This is not what should happen in the United States. And it's rather hypocritical to me to listen to these Democrats and these holier-than-thou media experts out there that when this was happening during the Vietnam War, this was happening during Watergate, that they were completely and totally outraged. But now that it's happening under a Democrat administration, their mouths have suddenly been zipped tight, and they are conspiring with them to go after the victims of this spying. That's outrageous, in my opinion, and hopefully the American people will hold them accountable. And I think you're seeing that with CNN's viewership dropping below the Food Channel. they've dropped by 25% just since the Mueller report came out showing there was no collusion.
Oh, too bad. So sad. And you can also think about times in the late 60s, early 70s, where they may have had a little twinge of the intelligence communities doing exactly what we say they're doing now, which is
right.
Completely illegal. So now that the focus is put on it, you know, in a broader sense, you hope that they can be, you know, sequestered into thinking, you know, in some way that you can't do this anymore. There has to be something. So all of that. Also, I wanted to chat with you a little bit about no real foothold for the Democratic contenders for 2020. Biden is up there, but are people really paying attention? And, you know, for someone who's at the head of the pack of these, I don't know, 22 Democrats running for president in 2020 on the Dem side, he gets just, you know, just a shade a fraction of the people at his little rallies that Trump would, or you know, Trump specifically.
Well, you look at Biden. He has a 35% support in the Democrat primary voters, and that's all on name recognition.
Right.
He served in Congress for over 35 years. He was then 8 years as the Vice President of the United States. There's nobody in the Democrat Party that is running that can come anywhere close to that kind of name recognition.
Yeah.
But if you look at the rallies that he is having, literally it's 200 people at his rallies. If I had over 40 years of exposure to the Democrat base and I couldn't get more than 200 people to my rallies, I would be embarrassed. That tells you how bad Biden is as a candidate, but also tells you how bad the field, the Democrat field, the Democrat benches to take on a Republican president, whether it's Trump or not. But then when you look at the rallies that Trump is having, where he is filling stadiums, so much so that the overflow is tens of thousands out in the parking lot watching on jumbotrons.
Yeah.
That tells you the intensity of the Trump supporters that are out there and what we are going to have going into the 2020 elections. I think the Democrat Party is going to have a lot of problems in the next couple of months.
Yeah, and for Trump, there's your heartland, there's your silent majority. So it'll be so interesting to see who comes out for the votes in 2020. The impeachment effort, got about a minute left. Want to talk about, I mean, that was the big news last week. There was Pelosi and Schumer, and he met with Trump, and Trump walked in, made a declaration, and walked out.
Well, all they are pushing for is that the president obstructed justice. And if he obstructed justice, then why are they wanting to have his bank accounts? Why are they wanting to have his tax returns? None of that has to do with obstruction of justice. That has to do with them simply wanting to find ammunition to weaponize their authority and their power as Congress people to find dirt on their political opponents. It has nothing to do with going after obstruction of justice, because they know that there was no obstruction of justice. He gave over all the documents. He allowed everybody to speak to the prosecutor. There was no executive privilege. There was no obstruction of justice. This is continuation with this narrative that the Democrat Party has moved forward with, why Trump shouldn't be president, and it's failing time in and time out. And Trump is going to destroy them in 2020.
Last word, Senator Harvey, thanks.
I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a song.
Have you ever heard of the term called medical kidnapping? This is a term ascribed to the act of a state where they take someone away from their family because they say of medical reasons. And this is just one problem that is ascribed to CPS and the foster service in many states all across America. And we are so pleased on America Trends to welcome Megan Fox. She is an award-winning journalist and author. Her columns can be read on PJ Media. She is the author of the newly released Believe the Evidence, The Death of Due Process from Salome to Hashtag Me Too. She has been an advocate for parents' rights and homeschooling for many years. And, you know, there is so much to go into this. Megan, welcome to America Trends. I have to say, you know, we're all going through our lives, and we know that, you know, we know there's a foster system, and we know that people need to adopt and help the kids who are most needy all across our nation. However, some of them maybe should not be there at all. And you just have to ask. I mean, when I found out about some of this in the past year, you have to say, how does this work? No trial, no jury, some administrator, some judge. What exactly are we talking about when we talk about this kidnapping from parents?
Well, thanks for having me on, Amy. I appreciate it. And I do want to say that, of course, there are children who are abused and need help from the system. However, our system has been set up, our foster system, it seems, to traffic children into sex abuse. And USA Today has talked about that. So has the Washington Post. Those kids are at very high risk for sex trafficking and sex abuse. They are targeted by pedophiles. They are targeted for kidnapping through the foster system. There are articles all over the media right now talking about how on the weekends they're trafficked out to pimps and then brought back to their foster care group homes. These stories just keep going over and over and over in the media, and nothing seems to be done. We have states who have lost foster kids. In Kansas, they lost 80 of them and weren't even looking for them until people started asking, where are these children? So there are problems. Illinois just had a very high-profile death of a foster child, of a child in a home that was not a foster care. It was his parents' home, and they are accused of beating him to death. That child, CPS had been called on his family 17 times, and they never removed him. So we have cases where there's real abuse, where child welfare is not removing the child, and then there are cases where there is no abuse, and then they remove them and put them into an abusive situation. So it's a real problem that needs to be addressed.
There is so much to go in that goes into this, and so much to report with you, Megan. So we do hope we have you back on soon. But I know in your notes, I see that you say we have over 400,000 kids in foster care, and they are at high risk for sexual abuse and sex trafficking. And yet the biological parents report there is no attempt to reunite them. So how does this work? You just have some faulty foster parents who are trying to make a buck, or people actually working in the system trying to make a buck with sex trafficking? And let's not all pretend that that is not happening, because it is a huge moneymaker all over the world, and the U.S. is not far from it.
It is happening. And also, let me explain one thing that people maybe don't understand is that when you are charged with or accused of child abuse by the child welfare system, this is not a criminal charge. Very rarely are parents charged with a crime. And so they avoid criminal court. Instead, they go to family courts where they are closed courts and they are not open to the public or the media, which means that whatever happens in those courts stays in those courts. And judges often will gag the parents with illegal gag orders, stopping them from speaking to the press. We just saw that happen in Arizona with the child whose door was kicked in and he was taken from his parents because he had a fever. And the parents didn't take him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So that judge kicked an actual congresswoman out of his courtroom, would not allow her to see what was going on in that courtroom. These are practices that need to stop. Child abuse is a crime. It needs to be treated like a crime. And if a parent is abusing a child, they need to be charged with a crime so that they can go to criminal court and have their rights. Right now, parents do not have rights in family court. You do not have a Fourth Amendment right. You do not have a Fifth Amendment right. None of these rights are being respected in these family courts. And so parents are having their children taken away from them without any crime ever being charged against them.
So the Arizona seizure of that child with the fever, and then there was another one in Mississippi, are these people that are Christian Scientists or something, and there was a fever and CPS found out and they took them away? I mean, I know you can go so far with a child in certain denominations of whatever, say we don't want our child treated, and then, you know, the state can step in and try to get them good treatment. But this child had merely a fever. Understand a little more?
It was a very interesting case because the child had a high fever. The mother took them to the doctor. At the time, the doctor, because the fever was still high, the doctor said, I think you should take the child to emergency. And I think on the way home, the fever came down and she went to her house and, you know, monitored the child. If there was no more fever, it was down to like 101, something like mm-hmm. that. And so she decided on her own not to take the child in because, you know, everyone avoids the emergency room if they don't have to go. And if your child doesn't have 105 fever anymore and it came down, then the fever broke. Yay, you know, they're going to be fine. But the doctor who recommended that she go to the emergency room, I guess, called the emergency room to check to see if she was there. And because she didn't go, that doctor called CPS and they kicked in her door. It is my understanding that they didn't have a judge's order for that. So there's a question about that. Now, the judge in the case decided that the state acted wrongly in this case, and the child is was ordered to be returned to the parents. Now, not only did they take that child, they took the other children in the home too.
Oh my gosh.
So they lost all of their children, and this process takes so long that they were without their children for close to 2 months. That kind of trauma and parental alienation causes real damage to children. We need to be very careful that every attempt is made to return these children to their parents when request, you know, if there is no evidence.
You say that tens of thousands of innocent parents lose their children and go to prison for something they didn't do, and that removing children from homes has been monetized by federal law. Medical kidnapping is when the state takes someone away from their family for medical reasons. Megan, are there any answers? Do we need more people on the payroll of the government to be able to really pay attention to each and every case, or just what's the deal? What can be done?
No, we need to abolish the child welfare system entirely. It's broken. It's totally broken. We already have an organization that deals in crime. They're called the police. Mm-hmm. And they know how to investigate crime. And they know how to charge people for crimes. And child abuse and child welfare cases need to go back to the police, which is how they originally were. And the police, I would trust the police any day over unelected bureaucrats who do not take an oath to honor the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And I think that child welfare in general is so corrupt now. Going back to a law that was enacted in the 90s called the Adoption and Safe Families Act, which monetized the removal of children from homes.
Okay.
That can't continue.
Megan, you say it's inherently flawed. We are so eager to hear more. You say the police should be doing it. Megan Fox is an investigative journalist and author who's keeping track of all this. And boy, what a sad sight to behold. You can find more about her at her Twitter account, at Megan Fox Writer, and her websites as well. Megan, please stay in touch, would you?
I will. Thank you so much.
You bet. Welcome back to America Trends. If there is one thing we all have in common is that we are trying to stay as healthy as possible, and a lot of that has to do with maintaining a healthy goal weight. However, if you are not there and you have been the victim of something called fat shaming, it can impact your mental health and emotional well-being just as much. We are talking this hour with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, who is an author, research psychologist, and psychoanalyst who focuses on things like these. Her website is right here, drfrieda.com. She is the author of What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of the Professional Woman in a Relationship. So she's got a lot of interesting topics she focuses on. She also, Doctor, welcome back. You're an expert on depression, women's issues, and attaining happiness. And yes. You've been on 2020, Oprah. You are the oldest mom in the USA to have had twins. Tell me about that, doctor.
Well, I don't feel old, but I guess I am considered old with that involving. And it's been wonderful. It's fun. The boys just turned 12, May 22nd. And they're just a delight. So I've been very lucky and blessed to have these children, and hopefully I don't get too much older and everything will even itself out.
You do not look out of the spectrum of a woman who would have 12-year-olds. You look amazing, sound amazing, and I just love, you know, when we can have people around us who we can look toward and say, you know, as we age, it doesn't have to change anything as far as our goals, what we can attain, what we can do day to day. And I think you're a great example of that from having talked with you before. I know that you are talking about the mental impact of being fat shamed. And this is something that can age people. You know, you have, there's normal weight, there's overweight, and there's obese. And it can be an issue. It can really harm your health. It can harm your skeleton. It can harm your bones and joints and have a great impact on how we age. However, what exactly is fat shaming, and what can it mean for someone's emotional well-being?
You know, it's a huge problem. And women themselves really are so critical of their body parts even. We're talking about if their arms are not toned enough, if their stomachs are an inch bigger or smaller or whatever that is. Nobody really knows. Nobody's really studying every little ounce, every little inch of you. They're looking at the whole person. You know, we have trends and different body shapes and thicker lips, bigger backs, who knows? Maybe next year it'll be bigger hips. So you never know where these trends will lead you. Different countries, curvy, thin, depending where you are also has something to do with acceptance of certain styles. But really what we're really talking about are styles. You know, you look at these magazines and you see these women who are airbrushed, professional hairdos, makeup, designer clothes. You know, they don't even recognize themselves when they're done because nobody really goes around like that. And research has shown that teenage girls especially are susceptible to this. And, you know, they get depressed when they look at these magazines. Mm-hmm. And models, let's look at these models. They're anorexic. Women are meant to have curves. That's the beauty of what women look like naturally. So all different shapes, all different types and styles, and there are apps for that as well. The diversity makes life really interesting. Who wants to go around with everyone looking like a stick model? I think that would be boring in itself. You know, 1/8 of a second is what it really takes for someone to assess you visually. And the rest is really the depth of who you are and what it is that you have to say that really maintains that person and whether there's a connection or not. So people need to realize what it is that's really important, what it is that really affects you. And friends are also very important. If you have supportive friends that make you feel good, then guess what? You're on the right track because gives you confidence as well.
Dr. Frieda, there is so much to say to what you just said, all very profound. You know, when you talk about if we were all, you know, the same specimen, there are some very specific Twilight Zone episodes where they've done that, and it does freak you out. And we do need to remember over the generations and centuries, there have been times when it's been very in style to be pale with creamy white skin and other times to be tan. And you have women who are trying to encourage other women to be yourself. And we do need to realize that anorexia is not where it's at. But how do we find a balance between being healthy and not being overweight? Because we know even a few pounds can really, again, strain our system.
That's true. And what you said is extremely important. Because if you take care of your body, you're taking care of your health, which means that if you're feeling good, when you're moving your body, that's a natural state of being. When you're giving yourself the right nutrients, you feel better, and that also helps you in every way with confidence, the way you project. So all that is involved with being healthy, and being healthy helps you to be better to other people because you feel better about yourself. So there's a win-win situation for everyone, and that means when you get up in the morning, what do you actually do? Do you get on the internet, or do you go out to the gym, or do you go out in nature? How do you start your day? That really depends on the effects of the rest of the day, your action, your behavior towards other people, your confidence. That is all is what makes you that person, that special human being. Visually, that goes away in a slap, in a dash of a few seconds. But when you have that strength of feeling, when you feel you can take on the day and you can give because you're giving yourself first, then you have the whole package. And that's really what we're talking about. There are apps where they do have situations where people are bullied on social media, that they find certain words, that they actually take care of those words so people do not have to see themselves being bullied. There are apps that have diversity of image and shapes, so you can look at people who have diversity, different shapes, and feel good that you're part of that type of society that is normal. When you go outside, you don't see people looking perfect. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, you see people like me. You see people that have all kinds of skin color, all kinds of characteristics, heights, tall, short, whatever that is. But then again, when you talk to the essence of who that person is, when that person is a warm person, a person who's likable, mm-hmm. a person who wants to hear about you, that's really what remains. And that's really what, especially teenage girls who are so vulnerable yeah. to what's going on in the media, need to know.
Doc, you look pretty good, I got to tell you. And it does. I thank you for bringing this message because it seems like we're all more politically correct and kinder, but then social media brings up other things. So thank you for this, and we hope to see you back again soon. Sure. Glad you've been with us for the hour here on America Trends on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Catch us anytime on our websites, and then you can scroll right over, click through to find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual suspects. We will see you there. Let's all be friends. It'll be so much fun. Biz Talk Radio, we have our past podcasts there, and then we have live streaming on U2 America and our past episodes as well. So lots to see, lots to keep up with. We say thank you to our guest for this hour, Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President, with the political headlines of the day. There it is right there if you want to go support and see what they're up to. CPS abuse with investigative journalist Megan Fox. She is the original Megan Fox, working on a very worthy cause for Americans. Also, the mental effects of fat shaming with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. And yeah, we really appreciate her time as well. Finally tonight, Rocket Man opens this weekend. We've been hearing about this for a few months, and what good tunes, right? It is a story of Elton John, and it's here. It's coming. Take a look and listen as we say goodbye for now. We will see you next time.
Feeling in cheap.
I could hear the whole tune in my head. It was all there, I could see all the notes, and I just had to get it out.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside.
What did you say your name was again?
My name is...
Reggie!
Reginald Dwight.
Reginald? That's my granddad's name.
So that is a fat boy from nowhere. Get to be a soul man.
Gotta kill the person you were born to be in order to become the person you wanna be.
I'm thinking of changing my name to Elton.
But that's my name.
Yeah, I know.
You could be the best-selling artist in America if you desire.
I was trying to do something bold.
Why are you still something flashy?
Can you even play the piano in those?
Know who you are.
And just don't kill yourself with drugs.
So how does it feel to be a star?
It's never gonna last.
Let's just enjoy it while we can.
Our sleeping arrangements get out, all of this is gone.
I just hope you realize you're choosing a life of being alone forever.
Don't you want to just sing without this ridiculous paraphernalia?
People don't pay to see Reg Dwight. They pay to see Elton John.
Sorry, Penny.
Care how much pressure I am under.
Not really. I'll still be collecting my 20% long after you've killed yourself.
Maybe I should have tried to be more ordinary.
You were never ordinary.
Shy little boy you were. Look at you now.